Welcome to the Boost Podcast with Kelly Leonard. The podcast providing you with immediate access to tools, tips, and tactics to boost your business and career success. Build your brand, optimize relationships, obtain more leads, secure thought leadership space, and tap into new markets. It's the Boost Podcast. And now, here's Kelly Leonard.
Hello and welcome to the Boost Podcast. I am your host, Kelly Leonard. Gregory Moore is an experienced entrepreneur and franchise consultant. With a passion for helping individuals explore franchise opportunities, Greg guides aspiring business owners through the process of evaluating and selecting the right franchise options. His expertise lies in turning local concepts into national franchise power brands. During our conversation, Greg's insights provide us into all aspects of Boost. So let's dig in. Hey there, Greg. Welcome to the Boost Podcast.
Kelly, I appreciate you having me on today. Very kind of you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And so for folks who are hearing your name for the very first time, tell us a little about yourself.
Well, Kelly, what I do for folks is I help entrepreneurs, aspiring entrepreneurs, and seasoned entrepreneurs get into the world of franchising. It can be very confusing. There are about 5,000 franchises out there in the U.S. today, and I help people narrow down those opportunities, the ones where the franchisers are looking for people like them. They are looking for franchises like those, and all at no charge to my customers. The franchisers pay us consultants a referral fee for this sort of thing.
Wow. And so what inspired you to start Franchise Maven?
A long time ago in the land far, far away, well, maybe not too far, over in California in Woodland when I was growing up, my very first job that I got, you know, back in the late 70s when we were in high school, most of us got jobs at fast food. I happened to get a job at Taco Bell and just so happened to work for a master franchiser for Taco Bell. So it was my first foray into franchising. Loved it. Moved up in that world. Managed a lot of her restaurants for her. She had about 50 of them out there in the Sacramento and Woodland, California area. Went through corporate world, went through restaurant management, did some side hustles while I was an engineer over at Motorola Semiconductor. But eventually it came to the point in time where I left the corporate world and said, I've got to do something for myself. I tried some private businesses. It was a kind of a side hustle, dry cleaners, storage locations. But boy, those were really challenging to do by yourself. So I always look back on those days when I was doing the franchise, I thought I had a lot of fun doing that. That franchise was really cool. Same, it was just playbook for you right there. Same thing, step-by-step process. So I said, I got to get back into franchising. So I went click happy. Many, many different people from franchising calling me. I finally got hold of a franchise consultant, helped me narrow down those opportunities, really streamlined the process, made it a lot less confusing, got into a franchise, ran my franchise for a while, but I thought, this is such a good thing. I got to tell other people about it. And I really like what that franchise consultant was doing. So I went back and said, teach me what you do. I'm going to create Franchise Maven. I had the help of some marketing people come up with a name for me on that. Uh-huh. I didn't do it by myself on that one. But they came up with that. And I said, I sold off my franchises I had. And I said, I'm just going to concentrate on helping other people realize their dreams.
Wow. Well, thank you for that background and context. I'd be curious to know, Greg, now I know you mentioned earlier on in your introduction, this pairing of people, like based on people's interests and perhaps skills and things like that with the right type of franchise, but at a very, like, I guess, 50,000 foot level, are there particular characteristics or like, who would you say, what are the characteristics of the individual who perhaps is primed to be a successful franchiser?
Great question, Kelly. One major factor that makes people a great potential franchisee is you got to be coachable. Those franchises already have that playbook. Now, you can be creative if you want to, but you got to be coachable because they've done it before. They've got the whole thing lined out for you. Just do what they do. Learn from them because they've made the mistakes before. So they got rid of all those mistakes. They'll get you to where you want to be 2 to 3 years quicker after you learn and be creative. But the one major thing is coachable. The other things are people who are just looking towards the future and they're not quite where they want to be, when they're looking 5 to 10 years from now.
Awesome. Thank you for that. And so then what would you say are some key factors that potential franchisees should consider when they're even evaluating? Because to your point, you said there are like over 5,000 different opportunities out there. So what are those critical or key factors that they should be evaluating?
The first top two ones that you need to think about are, one is time commitment. What amount of time are you committed to spend on your franchise? So a lot of people think that when I come across them, they think they have to do this full time. Well, you don't have to do it full time. There's many franchises that you can do semi-passive, 10 to 15 hours a week or so, depending on your management skill and style on that. And there's about four franchises that are completely passive. But you got to think about, what is my time commitment? What can I commit to my franchise? The other thing is the monetary commitment. Not only what can I invest in a franchise, but more importantly, what am I comfortable investing in a franchise on that? So those are the two major factors to start off with. There's other things, cultural fit. What do you see that franchise doing for you? Some little intricacies in there, but the two major things are time commitment and the monetary investment.
So I'd imagine, like from the monetary investment side, again, with there being over 5,000 opportunities, like I'd imagine there's probably a pretty wide and diverse investment potentially associated with different franchisees. Like realistically speaking, if someone were to say, you know what, I feel like I would be cut out for franchising. I'm coachable and I've got time and I've got some little seed capital here stored away that I can invest in an opportunity. Realistically speaking, on average, like what would an investment look like?
Two different things to look at there when you're looking at the investment. When you and I, Kelly, are driving down the road, what we see out there is the brick and mortar places. That's what everybody thinks. That's what everybody thinks. It's a big investment because they see those buildings. Those are a big investment. So that's a twofold question. The direct answer to your question is around $400,000 for a brick and mortar. But on the other end of the spectrum that people don't know about is your services industry, $150,000, give or take, on the services industry franchises. Those are small office or work from home, and you go out and visit with your clients or your manager if you do it semi-passively. So those were the two, $150,000 for services, around $400,000 or so, give or take, for a brick and mortar franchise on that. And then we can get into loans, which makes it even easier.
Ah, okay. Okay. So you said then we can get into loans. Can we talk about loans?
So what you're looking for there, when you were asking Kelly, when I had a little bit of seed capital, what can I get into it?
Right.
So if you're looking at a service industry franchise and you want to get into it for the minimum amount of cash possible, and you like using other people's money, which is what most of my investors like doing, is using other people's money, as long as the investment services the debt. Mm-hmm. What you would get is an SBA Express loan for about $150,000. You put down $20,000. So basically, good credit, $20,000. You do have to have, depending on the franchise, a certain net worth on that, because franchises don't want you running out of money. And the SBA is going to want to see that you've got some net worth to back that up. So depending on the franchise. But basically, Kelly, for about $20,000, great credit, you can get into a services industry franchise real easy for that. If you go on the other end of the spectrum, if you go the brick and mortar route, then you're looking at like a 7A loan or something like that. So you'll be looking at a pretty substantial 20% down. So you're looking at about $80,000 on that. Those are using other people's money. The other thing you can do, if you have an IRA account or you have a 401k from a previous employer, you can roll that over into a self-directed 401k plan where you're using your own money and now you're not going into debt on that. And we have people that will take care of all that for you. That's how I got my business started, because I really didn't want to go into debt. So I just used my 401k plan, since I'd already left my employer, and I rolled that over into a self-directed 401k, which means you can buy stock in any corporation you want. So Greg Morris Corporation is not created.
Voila.
Money goes right in there, completely compatible with IRS. My people made certain that I was right up there with the IRS guidelines. Every month, every year, or actually every quarter, every year, I had a few things to fill out. They did most of it, but they kept me in compliance.
Wow. Okay, so let's dial back a bit. For folks who perhaps are, trying to think about, they're new to entrepreneurship, or they're new to even exploring this notion of business ownership, how does an organization like yours, like how do you help people to determine whether franchising is even right for them?
Great question, Kelly. So first step in the process is you give me a call, or you schedule some time on my calendar and we talk. You get to know me. Ask me anything you want. about myself and about franchising. I'll ask you a few questions on there as well. And what I'm looking for there is, what are you expecting to get out of a franchise? And I'll let you know if this is something that's reasonable for you to be able to get into it on that one. At that point, then I'll send you out a questionnaire amongst a few other things on there, some background information on you for that one. But to really to find out if people are interested in that, pretty much I find out what their expectations are ahead of time, mm-hmm. what they're trying to get out of a franchise. So that if it doesn't seem reasonable, I'll just let them know that, I want to be a millionaire in a year. Well, that's, probably not going to happen. I don't mm-hmm. want to do any work whatsoever. Well, we got a couple of franchises you can do that, but you're still going to have a little bit of work to do. So we get some of those things out of the way. But along the way, actually, Kelly, amazingly enough, we'll find out as you start investigating that franchise and as we investigate that franchise together, then we'll start figuring out along the way whether or not franchising is right for you. And mm-hmm. if it is, which franchise is right for you?
Now, and something that just dawned on me is that, because of course you have a lot of folks who are out here starting their own businesses from scratch. And so I am curious to know how franchising might be a better alternative, because to what you alluded to earlier, there's sort of a blueprint. And I'd imagine it's in the franchisor's best interest that franchisees are successful. And so I am curious to know, like, is franchising a good alternative to me just simply starting to create my own service business, for example? Like, okay, for me, for example, although I'm not currently looking for a franchise, but like I'm a CPA by trade. And so rather than me starting my own CPA firm, I'd imagine perhaps in the realm of service franchises, there may be accounting franchises or some tangential industry sort of adjacent to accounting that perhaps I should look at in lieu of just starting from scratch something on my own.
Huge question, Kelly. Great question. I'll try and keep it somewhat brief. First off, basic, straightforward answer to your question. It's good to have options. Always check out your options. Mm-hmm. So now, and then of course this goes back to is franchising right for me. Now you've got your private business. You can do whatever you want with that. Take it anywhere you want. It's all yours mm-hmm. on that. You don't have any rules. You don't have any regulations. You don't have territories that you have to stay within. You can do whatever you want with it. It's all yours. You do it all by yourself, completely by yourself.
Right.
With the franchise, you've got the franchisor who's going to help you grow that business. Mm-hmm. They've got that playbook, step-by-step playbook. What you want to see from that franchise is you getting to where you want to be 2 to 3 years quicker than if you were to do it yourself. Mm-hmm. Not only do you have that franchise helping you, but along the way, as you talk with the other franchisees, which are you're expected to do, you're going to make friends with those. Now you got a whole team, a whole tribe of people that are going to help you grow, help you build that business. You are going to pay for it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Generally speaking, a franchise fee, one-time franchise fee, is around $50,000. Mm. Get you everything you need to know about that franchise. Mm-hmm. Ongoing royalties are between 5 and 10%. That's the incentive for the franchisor to make certain you do as good as possible. Because mm-hmm. the more you make, they take 5% off the top, the more they make. So that's their incentive to keep you going. Now, the big question, what it comes down to, it's probably what you're looking for there, is it worth it to me?
Right.
To go this route or to go this route? Mm-hmm. Definitely, absolutely personal decision. Only you can decide for yourself. After having those options, good to have options, compare them, take a look at the good and bad points about each, then decide.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And so I'd imagine you've been doing this long enough where you perhaps have some success stories of folks who perhaps you've shepherded through this process and how your guidance has contributed to their growth and sort of profitability. Can you share one or two success stories?
Oh, absolutely. There's quite a few. If you go into my, if anybody's curious and want to look at some, if you look me up, Gregory K. Moore under LinkedIn, you'll see a lot of people have put down stuff in there. A couple of them to start off with, it was very interesting. I had a couple that came to me. They were looking to get into, they were real estate investors, and they love their local brewery or going into breweries. And mm-hmm. they said, we really want a brewery. I mean, that sounds like a lot of fun. Sounds very interesting. I said, okay, well, we've got a couple of breweries we can take a look at. But as we go through the process, I asked some other questions like, is there anything else that may be of interest to you? And, you know, they deal with real estate. So we started looking at things related to real estate, HVAC, plumbing, electrical. And the gentleman, the husband, he was the one that I did most of the talking with along the way. And his wife would jump in every once in a while. But they determined that actually that it was the electrical business that they really liked. They were my electrical people. They really liked that, and they really wanted to run it semi-absentee. And at the very last few moments, wife stood up, spoke up, and said, "No, we're not going to run this semi-absentee. I'm going to run that business. I like what they said. I like how they got everything laid out. I'm going to do it." And they're going to end up being rookies of the year this year with her running on that. Just absolutely amazing on that one. And then there was Kelly, another Kelly, over in the Houston area, an engineer just like myself. Oh, mm-hmm. I'd like her right away, of course. She was doing fantastic in the space of tutoring. She had a couple kids, and she was, you know, had to tutor her kids and help her kids out all the time. So she took off with that, and she's just doing outstanding over there in the tutoring business. Really wonderful person. Single mom, two kids, got a job, and decided to go with the franchise all at the same time. It's like, you sure you want to do this, Kelly?
Wow.
Stuff going on. She goes, no, I got to do it. It's going to be just something that I already do with my kids. So no worries. We'll get it done. Mm-hmm. But she does it semi-absentee. She hired somebody to help her out with that one.
Well, and that was something that I was going to ask you, because I think the other thing that's interesting is that oftentimes when entrepreneurs in particular, when we're starting a business or perhaps we're transitioning out of corporate, we're trying to replace our corporate roles, is that there's this notion of, oh, well, I'm going to have to hire a bunch of people. And even with franchising, I'm going to have to hire a bunch of people. But it sounds in this example of the other Kelly, for example, it sounds like there are some franchises where perhaps it is a micro business where it's not like you've got to have 20, 30 or more people on your payroll, but it could be a relatively small group that's helping you to advance the mission and vision of that organization.
Absolutely, Kelly. And that's actually one of the questions that I ask folks is, how many employees are you comfortable with? So with the electrical business, for instance, they didn't have more than five or six. They didn't want too many employees. I think she got about five or six employees on that. That doesn't take too many. Tutoring is the same way. It doesn't take too many tutors. She's got one manager and four or five tutors. As she grows, of course, she'll get more tutors and as she comes. But a lot of those businesses are not like restaurants where you have to have 20, 30 employees.
Right.
A lot of those service industry businesses, you can make a good six-figure income with, you know, five, six employees. It doesn't really take that many.
Awesome. Well, Greg, this has been enlightening. Thank you so much. If folks are listening and they want to tap into your genius and your services, what's the best way for them to connect with you?
Well, you can check out my website, franchisemaven.com. That's franchise, M-A-V as in Victor, E-N.com. Email me at greg@franchisemaven.com or just pick up the phone and give me a call at 361-772-6401.
Awesome. Greg, thank you so much for everything that you do to support small business and entrepreneurial flourishing.
Kelly, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Well, that concludes this episode of the Boost Podcast. Thank you again for listening in. If you don't mind, if you could like, subscribe, or share the podcast with a friend, I would greatly appreciate it. For more information on anything Boost related, you can visit our website at www.kellytleonard.com.